just stay in the present. That's really important. Every moment of every day. You know, I mentor younger people now, and I recently told someone, make conscious choices every moment of every day for a few days, like to a point of debilitation.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am loving being in Atlanta, Georgia. The tech scene here is incredible. And today I am gifted to be with the beautiful Sarah Price. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. Awesome. So, okay, first things first. Yeah. Behind you, I see you are an awesome human.
Yeah, that's one of my things.
Okay, tell me.
So last November, around the 8th of the month, I was feeling unhappy and decided I needed a bright spot.
Yeah,
that's a very political moment in time. And I don't know, this is something that had been brewing in my brain for a while. And over brunch that next weekend, I said to friends, I have this idea. I've wireframed it because that's where my brain goes first. I know how to do that best. The concept is that these are t-shirts maybe that we'll make, and you'll only have to gift them. You won't buy them for yourself. And
right.
So it'll be this circle of gifting and gratitude, and it makes you pause and think about people that are special and why. And it has proved to be an incredible bright spot. We sold several hundred t-shirts by like the holidays. Then it turned into other merch, which I kind of had to do a little soul searching on because that felt like a product-based business, which I had no intention of creating.
Right.
But people want things. They want to be able to gift things. Our tagline on that poster says, "We need more awesome now more than ever."
I love it. Yes. We need more awesome now more than ever. I love it.
Can it be more true than that? I mean, that's
so
just
so cool.
Yeah. And when I think about the word awesome, it just, it means more than very cool or rad.
Yeah.
It's like, I am in awe of you. You inspire something in me. So that felt like the right word. We did this funky lockup of the color, the letters rather.
Yeah.
And we've printed some really beautiful shirts with a couple of local partners, tried to keep things as local and simple as possible.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Before we move on, how do people find more about it?
Our website is pretty simple. It's youareanawesomehuman.com. We're on Instagram at youareanawesomehuman, and we're on Twitter at anawesomehuman, which is a product of a character limitation.
Let's get into your formal intro. Like, who are you and what is your design agency?
All right. So I am Sarah Price. My background is in project management, client coordination, product development. And a couple of years ago, I'd carved out this niche for myself where I was a contract PM. You know, there's a bunch of small agencies, no matter what city you're in.
Right.
And so it's the agency that the designer started with his buddy, or the developer who has a girlfriend that's in design, and they have a buddy who does something else.
Right.
So there are all these little tiny shop, micro shops, I call them, doing great work. And they hate one huge piece of business, which is client comms.
Right.
So I found myself, one of my superpowers is being able to.
Client communications.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. One of my superpowers is being able to like drop into anyone's current project flow.
Right.
And be able to start solving problems right away. One of my clients here back then was like building a website for the Atlanta Beltline, which is a huge local social project.
I rode a bike on the
Beltline.
I was really excited. Yes,
I rented a bike and you rode on the Beltline.
It was so cool. And you said I got to see all the street art and all the restaurants I passed by. It was super cool.
It's a cool project for sure. Lots of things could be said and researched about that. But this client of mine had this awesome project. She was building their entire website, and I won't go too much into the details, but she was in a crisis and called me and was like, I need you to help problem solve.
I sat with him for a meeting. This is like, I could tell this story four different times with four different clients, but sitting down in one 90-minute meeting or less, right, and being able to say, well, this is the hard truth we have to break to the client. This is how we'll do it. Sometimes I was ghosted, like I was just drafting emails for them.
Right.
Other times, you know, they introduced me immediately and said, Sarah's in the mix now. She's going to problem solve. She's going to save the day. These are clients that were like potentially about to be fired.
Right.
So that was easy for me. That email mastery, client communications, keeping people happy on schedule.
Yeah.
That's my superpower.
Yeah.
And gosh, over the course of a couple of years, that was going gangbusters. But one of my clients took a job with one of her clients, a tech startup here in Atlanta called Rhodey. And she's the head of product there now, which was amazing for her.
Right.
And I remember approaching her and saying, should I like step to the helm? Do you want me to run your shop?
Right.
We talked about it once or twice. And she ultimately said, there's too much legal schmeagle and not enough brand equity. Start your own banner and I will refer clients to you.
Right.
And I thought about all the times people had told me, one day you're going to own an agency. And I had said, that's absurd. I do not aspire to that. But somehow with her saying that and knowing that she would send me business, it felt like a viable option. Also, I was having my second child at the time.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Thought, ultimately, I ended up like branding the Eddie with a friend and a colleague and also having a baby at the same time. Like one launched in September. The other was born early October.
Wait, so many questions. Uh-huh. How many years ago was this?
Two.
Okay.
The baby's like 21 months now.
And where'd you come up with the name Eddie?
So my wife is from
Eddie
Vane.
Dot design. It's if you guys want to check it out, the Eddie. So it's T-H-E-E-D-D-Y dot design.
Yes. So an Eddie is just a scientific happening.
Right.
It is when one or more streams comes together. That can be in water or electricity. In our case, it's creativity.
Right.
So one or more streams comes together and forms like a whirlpool or like this own environment.
Right.
And that is like exactly what we do.
Right.
I don't actually employ anyone. I only work with contractors, independent contractors who have their own superpowers and their own expertise.
Right.
So I have a roster of developers and designers, writers, strategists, photographers, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
I kind of try not to say no to anything as long as I know we can accomplish it with ease.
Right.
So I bring in different makers.
I love that. As long as we know we can accomplish it with ease.
Yeah.
How important is that in your process?
That's like that's the whole purpose. That's like when I knew I had to pivot and think about how I was going to do, let me back up a little bit.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The idea that I was contract project managing for multiple agencies felt a little bit like Jean-Claude Van Damme straddling two semi-trucks going down the highway, right? Do you know that ad? It was like a Volvo ad or something.
I love that ad.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was like really awesome. And it was cool, but it was tenuous and it felt impermanent. And it felt like something that like, I don't know, I was always spread a little too thin,
right?
I wasn't doing anything at 100%. So having our second baby, knowing it was time to do something slightly different and being really encouraged to step to the helm of my own thing. The idea of like everyone getting to employ their own superpowers and following the ease was kind of paramount. I want to have family first, genuinely. But I want to be able to crush it every day, knowing that I'm adding value. That was always huge for me. I never wanted a job where I would just go and kind of screw around with other people's to-do lists and walking into a big mess hall of people and coordinating their days for them.
Right.
Like, because I've done that too. I did big agency work here in Atlanta. And for one reason or another, that was not serving my soul anymore.
Right.
And so, the idea of following ease, employing everyone's strengths where no one struggles,
right?
Everyone just excels. Because this designer has been dying to have someone manage their client communications. This developer doesn't really know designers, but kind of pushes things together and makes it look okay. But when like all of these experts come together and there's someone at the helm who leads with client communications, everything falls into place.
So key. I have so many questions. I mean, I have questions from tactics on client communications to I have questions on when you first realized that you had a passion for technology and design. Let's lead with the client communications.
Okay.
Some walkaways that everyone listening right now can kind of wrap their head around to be a better communicator, a more effective communicator.
Okay. One of my favorite tips is that people don't read. So we have to be really thoughtful about email communications. Storied long form emails are just a thing of the past. My emails are full of bulleted lists, numbered lists where it makes sense. really pointed information bolded. And these are not like insults to my audience. It's like, I respect your time. I understand right. how hard it is to digest a massive communication right. via email. So you try to break it down and make it as easy as possible. I also cannot say enough about in-person meetings and or on the phone or conferenced meetings. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point in the early
with paying clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. With clients, with new business development, with makers.
So when do you decide to say no? Because like I get sure. right. I get like, can you have coffee? Like with We Are LA yeah. Tech, as yeah. you guys know, I run We Are LA Tech in Los Angeles. I probably get like at least 100. Can we have coffee a month? And there's not physically, like literally as a human enough yeah. time.
No.
So what I did was to set a boundaries. I created a community day mm-hmm. and you can pick anytime you want. There's zero expectation and meet with me on the community cool. day. And then that way I know I could run operations and still give of myself.
Absolutely.
But as running a business, when you say like have as many in-person meetings, when do you know to say no?
Those kinds of, we'll call them opportunities or problems come for me in seasons. So I'm never like full bore 100 requests in a month, especially for free conversations. As a general rule, I just try to say yes, not for the sake of like be the yeser or, you know, no more yeah. no's. It's just the number of people you meet and the connections and the dots that are connected, rather, right. those nodes, that becomes part of my technology network, my resource list. Those are invaluable.
Right.
So it is really rare that I sit down with someone and leave and go, damn, that was a total waste of my time. Yeah. There's always something that I can learn.
Yeah.
Check your ego. That's another great tip.
Yes. And can ego, the whole world check the yeah. ego?
Ego is a hard thing because yeah. people think that means you're self-centered or yeah. that you're high and mighty. And ego is so much more than that. Ego is when fear ekes into a conversation. Yeah. Ego is when we, I don't know some great examples, but we put a wall up. We say no yeah. to protect ourselves. Then we might come around. And,
yeah.
you know, I try to work with makers where I collaborate trust or where I cultivate trust. And I know I show up with very little, if not no ego, most of the time. It's right. really important to me.
Yeah.
And cultivating those other relationships, whether it is with my clients or makers in my network is means that they show up with less ego.
Totally.
Even if it's kind of their inclination. We trust each other.
Right.
Oh gosh, I feel like my brain is all over the place now, but.
No, it's because we're both so excited.
Yeah.
I completely find myself regularly asking myself, is there ego involved in how I feel mm-hmm. right now? What is my intent in doing this? Mm-hmm. What's my why? Am I doing my why? So if I'm doing my why, does it really matter what certain obstacles get in the way? Yeah. How can I work around those? And so I think it's a really important point. So I was asking you about like tips on client communication.
Yep.
So that was great. Mm-hmm. So let's see. It was being considerate of the receiver of email messages because yep. they don't really read.
Really, that was more a note to like format your emails. Yeah. Be really thoughtful yeah. about how they're laid out visually.
To meet people in person
yep.
as much as possible, or at least a phone call, yep. something more offline.
And just one more ad there. That is for, you know, we're in branding and identity marketing and design. I don't toss things over the fence anymore. I learned those lessons the hard way a number right. of times. If I have a deliverable, it's my preference to show it to a client in person. If they are too busy to do that, we'll do a conference. But
that's a good point.
I can you just can't share visual design
yeah.
via email and yeah. think that you're going to get back like thoughtful response.
Totally.
It's totally out of context.
And then the saying, check your ego at the yeah. door.
yeah. I mean, lead with logic, not yeah. heart. Like, you know, like you just said, if you're emotionally invested in something, mm-hmm. Especially working with so many designers, it can be really hard for them to let go of their baby, you know,
right.
in a sense. But logic over emotion in business, you have to show up in that order, I think.
100%. Yeah. And so, okay, I'm super excited to dive into yeah. when did you first become passionate about technology and okay. specifically about design itself?
Yep. Okay. So I have a degree in sculpture. My 4-year liberal arts degree is in sculpture. I welded and sewed my way through. That's like with like needle and thread.
Yeah, offline completely.
Through a degree. And You know, I remember some of those professors talking about how like 2% of fine art majors make it in the art world, and it means moving to New York. It usually means executing someone else's ideas right. for years, decades. And that never appealed to me. So I thought, you know, I'm always going to have this. It's part of my fiber, this creative streak. But I also don't want to struggle in right. that kind of way. That just wasn't right. part of my story. So I found my way to business in the creative field here in Atlanta for the first time. With an agency that focused on education marketing. And for them, I was like a director of operations, right? I was like buying yeah. paper towels yeah. and...
And you're not from Atlanta originally.
I actually am.
Oh, you yeah, are yeah. from yeah. Atlanta.
I grew okay. up in Midtown.
All right, cool.
So, and lived away for some years, but my formative years were here in Atlanta. I definitely identify mm-hmm. as a native. My family's always been here. So anyway, first job in an agency was here in Atlanta. That led to my first project management job. And I think in my first, that was my first role where I was contacting clients directly.
Right.
And it was, I was young and I was really good at it. And I was able to keep everyone happy. I've always been like brutally honest and truthful. So that trustworthiness goes a long way. I think I've always been more logic over heart. I mean, I think like my family would even say like you overshare truth, you know, like can, you know, just.
Yeah.
Don't be so honest.
Oh my God, I get that from my mom too.
I know, right?
So, she's like, don't burn bridges. That's her favorite. I'm like, Mom, I'm not burning bridges. I'm just speaking my mind. She's absolutely. Like, well, stop doing so much of that.
Critiques. That's another podcast, Critiques for Mom. So I don't know. Those were my early exposure to client communications and in context of like a creative agency. My favorite projects to manage were always like smaller scale, either branding or small website projects. And what the last agency I worked for here in Atlanta, they were growing really fast. They were looking for the $80,000 to $150,000 web projects
right.
where we're integrating with multiple languages and yeah. across, you know, SaaS yeah. products. And, I'm like, I don't want that anymore. Like right. that starts to be like really in the weeds for me. There's no love in it. It was a killjoy for sure. Other people's passion. That is why right. we all have our own
right.
niches, right? With the Eddie, we do a lot of like really small projects, some with reoccurring clients, some just one time. Yeah. We do a lot of VC decks, helping other people in tech get money.
Cool.
But they're small still. They're storytelling projects, yeah. really. It's like maybe the output is still the PowerPoint,
yeah.
but it feels like an epic book or portfolio or story.
Are you able to talk more about your work with the VC decks? Meaning how I get asked so many times in LA, do you know anyone that I could hire to help me create one?
Yep.
How much can you share on sure. this public podcast of how much would it cost? How long does it take to work with you?
Sure.
Like just kind of give us the quick sales pitch, because I know so many people in Los Angeles specifically that have come to me and I think they'd love this information.
Cool. Yeah, I'm happy to share. So I won't mention any client names or even makers in this context, mm-hmm. but certainly you can reach out to me. My email is sarah@theeddie.design. The fundraising decks we've done have incorporated 3 to 4 makers each. So I am always head of the, certainly communications, but sort of like the story arc and the strategy piece.
Right.
There's me always, obviously. There's always a visual designer. There's oftentimes a writer. And then the key most piece is a real like storytelling strategist.
Right.
So that's like the creme de la creme kind of deck that you get from a group like us. I just want to make sure I covered my bases. Really, that's it. So right. up to 4 makers. I've done some decks for a couple $1,000s.
Right.
The most robust one we've done was close to 10,000.
Right.
And here's the thing about these decks. I also talk to people who help other people raise money, whereas we're really more in the storytelling realm and we want to do something that looks amazing.
Right.
That really feels like brand cohesion, even maybe for a company that hardly has a brand.
Right.
But we want to.
Which helps them a lot just in identifying what their brand is.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of times these product or these projects turn into like a mini brand sprint at the same totally. Time because we have no choice but to develop some additional visual assets for them. Taglines. Mission statements, like you kind of get all this free stuff
right.
because we have to figure those things out
right,
in
right,
order
right.
to tell a beautiful story. Does a $10,000 deck help you raise hundreds of thousands or $1 million or more? I think it does. Yeah. I think, you know, there is no doubt that the right people with the right ideas sit down at the right desk.
Right.
They tell the right story and they can get money with no deck.
Right.
Or with a shitty leave behind.
Right.
If your business falls in the space of, we have a little bit of money.
Right.
We have a tiny bit of brand.
Right.
We know it's good. And we really believe that, like, with the right tools.
Right.
We'll get funded. Those are the people that we want to talk to, because I don't want to utilize someone's money.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good idea, based on the technology, even right. if it's a sphere I'm not at all comfortable in.
Right.
You kind of know when you hear an idea, like whether there's something there.
Right.
You know how passionate, but based on how passionate the founder is, you know, based on how well they tell their story
yeah.
or how much they fumble. And so when I meet with the right people who have an idea, they've got a little bit of money, and it's not a waste of their money to spend it developing a piece of collateral like this, it's absolutely the right thing to do.
I think it is so important to know how to tell an effective story mm-hmm. when it comes to any aspect of startup, from growing your brand to communicating to raise money, to communicating to your customers sure. what your brand means to their life, to communicating to your internal staff. And a lot of that starts with design and yep. storytelling. And so yep. that you're helping people develop their brand identity mm-hmm. so that they can communicate to every last, you know,
yeah.
what is it, outlet or, you know,
yeah,
audience, mm-hmm. every last audience. It's just so valuable.
Yep.
What resources did you access to become who you are today? Meaning, like, mm-hmm. really to dive in and hone in on your design skills and being now a business owner, what resources have you accessed?
You mean like tangible tools?
Yeah, something that people are like, oh, she went to so-and-so school, or she mm-hmm. read this book, or she watched this video, or she mm-hmm. practiced this every day for 7 years.
You know, I think, well, the big metaphysical answers are like intuition. I employ that tool every yeah. day.
Your intuition is your oracle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Knowing how to like trust my gut and follow it, which has ebbed and flowed over the years without question. And maybe my real answer won't be popular with young people who are like this movement to be an entrepreneur right out of school.
Right.
My real truth is that all of this agency, client, maker, communication, education that I've gotten has been from my experience.
Yeah.
I've drawn something from every position I've held, and I've always taken it really seriously. I spent the first 10 years of my career going, okay, 2 years here, what's the next thing? Two years here, what's the next thing? That's kind of the traditional way for young people, maybe especially women, to like grow our careers, these little like rungs that we're tackling.
Yeah.
And I think that's hard for people today who just have this notion that they're going to be their own boss right away. Now, I'm 36 years old, and that's my perspective. I would love to sit in a room with a young person who says, you're crazy, and here's why.
Right.
So I'm not saying that's the only way, but that's my answer. Years of experience under other intelligent people, really paying attention, really trusting mentors, assigning myself mentors.
Yeah.
People who I know are better at things than me, always being aware of that and conscious of that. Other like tangible tools. I think Basecamp is a great tool.
I use Basecamp.
You know, love I've been Basecamp. Around the block, and I obsessed over Trello for 2 years, and I have a lot of different tools that I employ with different makers.
Yeah.
Basecamp is comprehensive and they have
Basecamp.
Grown smartly and
totally.
And they've added the right features. So.
You know, my favorite thing about Basecamp is the company itself mm-hmm. is a teacher and a mentor, mm-hmm. like how they run their company
yes.
is a company that inspires and educates. So yeah. not just are they a company where I utilize the software and love it.
Yeah.
Like I learn from how they operate. It's just so exciting.
They share in that way. I think MailChimp's also good at that, by the way. And
based
these are
in Atlanta.
Yeah, based in Atlanta. Though that's not a plug at all. That's like a tangible tool that I use daily. We're all over Slack. That's a tool that we employ.
Yeah.
In terms of my design, so my sculpture degree, at some point in my college years, I had to decide if I was going to be a digital maker or a fine arts maker. And I went for the fine arts. So at that point, I stopped learning. There was no Adobe Suite education for me.
Right.
But when I set out on my own as a contract project manager, there is no doubt that for me to be able to be effective, for me to not be a bottleneck between art director, maker, me, client, somewhere in that, you know, trifecta, quadrant. That was bad. I had to be able to execute quick things on my own. So I taught myself InDesign, Illustrator, I can sort of poke around Photoshop and Lightroom. And with those tools and just some basic, you know, I'd sit with designers. I'd watch them over their shoulder. I'd say, oh, God, I have to be able to change that text. There's no way.
Right.
If I've got the license for the software on my machine, I should not have to come back to you for that.
Right.
And they'd show me. And so that'd be one more thing I knew how to do.
So you just make this world a constant learning opportunity for yourself.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Although I will say, too, at some point I got pretty in the weeds of production work.
Yeah.
And I realized that I needed to back up just a little bit. So being able, I also worked in restaurants for a long time out of college. And so, and I managed a couple where it's like, in order to be an effective manager, you have to be able to do every job in the house. So I have to know how to run the dishwasher. I have to know how to cook on the line and actually know the recipes. Right. You know, that is how I run my agency now.
Yeah.
So I don't ask. It also means I know how to like effectively price projects.
Right.
If I'm working with a developer who's like software or tools I don't even understand.
Right.
If I'm asking someone to quote me a project, but I don't know anything about it, it's impossible for me to. I mean, sure, there's trust, but like I need to know. I need to know what, how long things take. And I got a little sidetracked there, but
no,
my point was being able to know how to do everything was really important to me. But when I got in the weeds of almost everything was I was touching everything as a production artist in some capacity. That was a hard stop for me because I was not billable in the right ways anymore. So while it's important to be able to do all of that, I had to take a step back and say, and this has been the last 12 months, I'm not going to do production work unless it's absolutely essential. I will only employ the right people to do that because back to that ease thing and my common sense knowledge, those things are not my common sense knowledge. Yes, I am proficient at them, maybe even adept in some cases, but I am not an expert in Illustrator. And not only is it like a time suck for me, but my client shouldn't be paying for me to do to push their pixels.
No, I understand. It's like just because I can build a website doesn't mean I should.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're sitting in a Switchyard and I can't help but talk about it because we're in Atlanta, Georgia, and Switchyard is an important part of the Atlanta tech scene. What is Switchyard exactly?
So Switchyard's downtown club was founded as a co-working space. They also have a startup incubator. Where you kind of get to tap into the expert resources within the building. I will say like amongst all the other opportunities and places where I could work in Atlanta, this one feels like the most thoughtful community. You know, we've got exposed brick walls here. We have plywood sliding doors on our conference rooms in the basement. It feels like it's scrappy in the right ways and it's thoughtful in the right ways, which is sort of... the logic that I try to employ, right? Like spend money where you need to spend money.
Totally.
But really focus on your intention. That's what these guys do. They founded Scout Mob, one of the first consumer focused apps in Atlanta years ago. And this is their next passion project. And
I
think they're crushing it.
And we'll include more about Switchyards. Mm-hmm. Let's spell it. SWITCHYARDS.
Yes.
.com. And we'll include more in the show notes for you guys. Also, you had a podcast yourself.
Yeah.
What was your podcast about?
So I used to co-host Stuff for a Stylish Home that was produced by How Stuff Works, owned by Discovery at the time. A good friend of mine is producer Jerry there. People know her best from Stuff You Should Know and Stuff Mom Never Told You. And that was an amazing opportunity. I got roped into that, spent a year doing it. And we had like a lot of traction. People loved it. Sponsorships are key.
Oh, amen on that.
Yeah.
So, to wrap it up, before we go, there's so much to, but I know we're both limited on time. So first, my final question, aside from how can people connect with you, is what kind of mind state do you have in order to achieve your dreams?
You have to be really present in the moment. There's some awesome quote that I won't be able to conjure about not living in the past or in the future. Just stay in the present. That's really important. Every moment of every day. You know, I mentor younger people now, and I recently told someone, make conscious choices every moment of every day for a few days, like to a point of debilitation. Like, I'm going to walk out this door and am I going to take a left or am I going to take a right? Well, I could kind of get to my car either way.
Right.
Conscious choices, staying checked in, that forces you to like be really present when you feel off track or kind of all over the place. Those tips are really powerful. That's probably my biggest one.
I love it.
Maybe I should leave it at that.
Yeah.
Stay present.
And we're going to, how can people connect with you?
So I am, the Eddie is on Instagram at theeddie.design.
And it's E-T-H-E. Mm-hmm. E-D-D-Y
dot design. That's correct. I have a hard time saying E-D-D-Y without sounding like Iggy Azalea, like E-D-D-Y, right? I do that all the time. So that's us on Instagram. The website is theeddy.design. We could have a whole nother conversation about that extension and whether that's been a good choice or a bad choice, but that's where we are. And you are an awesome human is youareanawesomehuman.com. Same name on Instagram. That's awesome. The best way to find us.
So we're going
to
do a quick gift exchange thing because I want to see that you are awesome human. So as you guys know, we partnered with a company called Share Your Compass at shareyourcompass.com in Wilmington, North Carolina, cool. Female founded. She makes these by hand. These are shareable, trackable bracelets. This is 1860. So you see 1860. Cool. What I love about these, it's made with cork from Portugal.
Okay.
And what I love about, and you'll see the website on the inside as well, is what you do is you give this to a fellow woman in tech within the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And you go to shareyourcompass.com and you write how you received it.
Awesome.
And then you pick out who you're going to give to within the next 2 weeks. And then they give it to someone else and it carries on. Oh, so cool. All these women. Band.
What? The same bracelet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So all these women in tech become connected. And then something that the founder is building is that you'll be able to connect with people who have it down the line. So you'll be able to meet the 4th, 5th, 6th, 100th person who has the bracelet.
How cool.
How cool, right? Do you have in mind right now, there's no right or wrong, who you would give it to?
Yeah, for sure.
Can we talk about the person?
Sure.
Okay.
I already talked about her. Her name is Mary Frances Jones, and she's the director of product at Rhodey.
Perfect.
Yeah, she's one of my mentors. For
awesome. So this is for her.
Thank
or
you.
For you. Great. And then for her.
Oh, I love
and
it.
The instructions are in here. As you can see, share your compass.
Do you know how many people have had this one?
No, so you're the first now. So each guest that we're interviewing has one, and then they pass it down within two weeks to someone. And then I'm hoping that quickly it will be passed down to hundreds of people. So every guest has one, and like this one has the ID number 1860. And so now listeners can log in to see where 1860 has traveled to.
Very cool.
Cool,
very
right?
cool. I love it.
Thank okay, now so I want to see you are an awesome human.
Okay, so I brought a couple sizes.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But here's the deal.
This is so cool.
These shirts just have our, I call it the slogo on purpose.
The slogo.
And our logo.
I love it.
You are an awesome human. It's Proxima Nova, slightly modified for you design nerds out there. We love you. And then silkscreen t-shirts packaging. And the packaging comes with a blank Mad Lib on the back.
I love
it. And you fill it out for the person. I thought maybe at the end of the conversation, I'd know more about you and I'll fill it out for you.
Oh my God, so cool.
You know, it's got our tagline, we need more awesome now more than ever. Thank you for doing whatever it is you do to make whatever change it is you make.
This is so amazing. And you know, I love that you could frame it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah,
I could totally
try to do
frame
a lot
this.
With social in our packaging and it feels good.
Yeah.
Like it's like cheap Uline box, super simple screen we had made.
Yeah.
And it all comes together. You know?
It's really rad.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank
I
you.
Really love it.
Well, we have tank tops and shirts.
So you
t-shirts.
Guys, you guys check out You Are an Awesome Human.
Yeah.
I mean, this is so in alignment with the Women in Tech podcast. And it's everything in alignment with everything I do. It's everything in alignment with why I do anything.
Not surprisingly.
So
no coincidences.
Thank you so much for
my
spending
pleasure.
Your time with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been incredible. And I know that you were really busy and you made time to show up today.
That's
and
totally
it means a lot to me and to us. And you're rad.
Awesome. You're rad. You're an awesome human.
Thank you. All right. Bye, guys. Oh, you guys, I just built the like a profile site. So all women in tech around the world can showcase what they do and who they're about on community.womenintech.fm. By the time this comes out, I will have fixed the bugs.
Sweet.
So, and if you want to connect with more awesome women in tech on Facebook, you just go to womenintechvip.com. That takes you straight to the Facebook group. I will talk to you guys, hear you guys, see you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Fatalist, one of my favorite companies to gain exposure to your startup before you're even live. Go to fatalist.com/womenintech and get featured. Yes, get your startup featured while still in beta and make sure people know that you're about to go live. So when you open the floodgates for business, you'll be ready with pre-existing customers and signups. That's fatalist.com/womenintech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you.
the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.